Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. When they came to the other disciples coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus responded. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," asked Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Can I get a witness on that? Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Lord, we want to connect with you. We want to connect with the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to find the power and the resources of the kingdom at our fingertips, Lord. Show us how we can have the power that you had, Lord, that we can move the way that you moved, and that we can shine the way that you shined, Lord. We give you praise this morning, asking, Lord, that you would guide and direct us and be with us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
George is not here today. Lord, I just lift up George to you this morning. And I pray, Lord, I can't remember last time he hasn't been here on a Sunday. And Lord, I pray that you would touch him wherever he's at, Lord, that we can find your fullness. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, we're in a series called Connecting with the Kingdom. And I'm wondering, as we, if you ask anybody, you're going to connect with the kingdom of God? You do it through prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Talk about the connection. Talk about... Sometimes we need kingdom resources to move through the challenges of life. Amen?
Amen.
I had a challenge hit me on Thursday. Anybody have any challenges hit them this week? Come on, up high. Challenges? Oh, man. One coach got double challenges. Yes. Well, Thursday, my wonderful wife decided that she was going to go out shopping for furniture or something that needed the truck. And possibly, and she's looking for a bookcase for downstairs for one of the classrooms. And I said, you know, that's fine. I'm just going to take out the Super 88 and just cruise around today. I've been thinking about doing that anyway. And so if you know the Parsonage, we live on a hill. And, that Super just ran great downhill. And, I made the turn, got onto Euclid, going to make the right-hand turn to go up Euclid, and nothing happened. I did feel something akin to a pop. Or maybe it was just a psychological pop. I don't know. It wasn't a shuddering pop, but there was something that occurred, and all of a sudden I hit the gas, and there was no movement, and I put it into second gear and no movement, and I put it into low gear, and there was no movement, and there was a car behind me, and I did that move that I'm becoming familiar with as I drive the Super 88, and I put it into reverse, and it was no go, and I They had to push. And luckily it was slightly downhill, and I pushed it, and this fine young man, need help pushing? No, got this. And I turned it off, started. And so, you know, Joe is here this morning, and I used to tell you how we would count the number of times that we drove the Super 88 and did not have to walk home. But this time, the Super 88 needed to be towed home. And in fact, this afternoon, I plan on removing the transmission from the Super. And you think, hey, wait a minute. I'm connected with the kingdom of God. This kind of stuff is not supposed to happen to me. Can I get a witness on that? Right? But problems come. And we're talking about connecting with the kingdom. And ask anybody, if you're going to connect with the kingdom of God, you're going to connect through prayer. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. See, not always is it God's plan that we should have nice, happy, uncomplicated lives. He said, amen. See, my wife knows that. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You see, God makes opportunity for us to connect with the kingdom. Amen? And he wants us, as we connect with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we should live lives on display. You see, the resources of heaven are available for us to shine. Now, sometimes we can get confused. Sometimes we think that the resources of the kingdom of heaven are for us to live rather than to shine. And the Lord wants to make sure that we get those two in order. Amen? Amen. So we've been talking about connecting to the kingdom. And that first message, you know, hey, you're going to connect with the kingdom? You connect in prayer. You connect to those resources. Last week, we talked about connecting through the kingdom, affecting your prayer and affecting your spiritual life. Now, you guys want to be strong spiritually, right? Let's see, Aaron Bugs. Let me see that thing on your lap. One thing, you're going to be strong spiritually today. If you have one of these, hold it up. Make sure. You don't have, if it's not out, you don't have to pull it out. But if it's out, make sure you're not playing a game. Oh, yeah, go on Facebook. Like the Chag prayer page, and you can say that you checked in here. But, yeah, okay. But the message will be on there. Connecting to the kingdom, making the connection. Today we're going to shift gears. We talked about prayer and spiritual health. Today we're going to talk about problems with prayer and the complications of prayer. And answers to prayer. Does that sound good?
Yes?
All right. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Let us start going. Prayer can be complicated. Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you that if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what is done to the fig tree." Now, the context of this passage is that Jesus came to a fig tree. He was hungry. He wanted to get some figs. There was no fruit. He cursed the fig tree and it withered. And the disciples are tripping that the fig tree withered so rapidly. And he says, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can do what was done to the fig tree. But also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And Jesus says that your prayer can move mountains. He says, the requirement is that you pray with confidence, that you pray and do not doubt. When you pray with confidence, when you do not doubt, we call that faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us what faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, we all have mountains in our lives that we need to get moved. Amen. It could be a new opportunity. Lisa mentioned our Lisa God A mentioned our silent sound man back in the corner graduating and preparing to go to the Marines in November, correct? Now, perhaps you have a brand new opportunity and your prayers might be, Lord, I see this incredible thing before me. Prepare me, aid me, and help me. Amen? You pray that prayer in faith that there is supernatural aid for you. Perhaps your mountain is the pain of lingering failure. And your prayer could be, Lord, help me move beyond this. So my question for you this morning is, what's your mountain? What do you need God's supernatural aid to assist you to overcome? What do you need to pray for? Now, as you pray for that, I want to caution you about building your mountain up before the Lord. You see, we need to keep our focus on the mover, not the mountain.
That's right.
Amen? And sometimes in our prayers, we go into the minutiae of the mountain of that is before us, and it obscures our view of He who can move that mountain. Amen? Because you have to remember, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? So that is what motivates our prayer of faith. Let us continue on. Sometimes the kingdom seems far away. Can I get a witness? If you feel this, when you feel this, you are not alone. Psalm chapter 10, verse 1. Why, Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? There is pain and hurt and disappointment when our prayers get no response. Prayers for a child. Prayers for a spouse. Prayers for healing. Prayers for a job. What's going on? Where are you, God? You feel it. David felt it. You're not alone. Now, God answers prayer. Amen?
Amen.
But it's not always the answer we're looking for. I got four types of prayers and four responses to prayer that we're going to spend the rest of our time on. Sometimes your request is wrong. God says no, not the answer that we're looking for. Sometimes your timing is wrong. And God says slow. Gotta let you know, these four things all rhyme. And realistically, when you get a slow, it feels like a no. Can I get a witness on that? You're saying, not right now. Sometimes, so we got an improper request, we got improper timing, sometimes you are the problem. And God says, grow. You're thinking, I think I'm good right here. Now, if the prayer is good and the timing is good and you are good, God says, go. So we got no, slow, grow, and go. Tracking with me on that? We're going to unpack these situations the rest of our time today. But it's a hard thing. Why do beautiful little children get killed by ISIS? Why do Christians spend their lives in North Korean labor camps starving? Unanswered prayer. It is faith-filled believers that are hurt most by frustrated prayers. Let me share a story with you. A couple months ago at the skate park, at the Jesus table, I was talking to a young lady. We don't get that many girls there. And we were talking about the Lord, and she said, yeah, I used to pray. When I was a little girl, I prayed. I prayed that God would help my family. And I never got an answer. And she says, quite frankly, I don't have time for a God who does not answer prayer. Have you heard that before? You see, there is this rumor that goes out that God is like Santa and that his job is to sit around waiting in heaven for somebody to bless him with enough attention to answer their prayer. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, a peripheral issue. But I do want to let you know, as we talk about complicated things and bad things happening to good people, godly people, faith-filled people, that the enemy of our souls' defeat is secured, but it is not yet completed.
That's right.
And that he yet reigns as the prince of this world. All right. Four types of prayers. Sometimes our prayers are the problem. Turning to Mark chapter 10, verses 36 through 39. What do you want me to do for you? This is a response to James and John request to Jesus. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. And Jesus replied, you don't know what you're asking. And sometimes your request is wrong. James and John's request was wrong, and the answer they got was no. And you are wondering, what can make a prayer wrong? And realistically, you're thinking, there's no such thing as a bad prayer. Message goes out, word goes out, that a lot of people believe that they're doing God a favor when they pause in their lives and grace him with a request. How can that request be wrong? The prayer here appears to be self-serving. Amen?
Amen?
Sometimes we have prayers that are materialistic. I would imagine my son has prayed for that car. Sometimes our prayers are immature. I prayed for that car. Immature prayer. Prayers for that are often answered with no. And then there is the prayer for the other guy. Lord, can you make my wife more fill in the blank? Right? Ladies, sometimes, Lord, can you make my husband more loving, kind, respectable, employable, whatever. You fill in the blank, right? And realistically, our prayers are not so much to affect the person we're praying for. It's just that we want God to change them so our lives can be easier and simpler and less complicated. Amen? So, perhaps you've been getting no's. Questions that you can ask yourself if you're getting no's from God. I got four here. Will this request bring glory to God? Will this prayer, this issue, advance his kingdom? Will this help people? And will this help me grow spiritually? If the answer to all of these is no, probably your answer from heaven will be no. But it is an answer. Amen? See, you can be a godly person and want a Lamborghini Countach. Now, the Lord gave me a 1961 Volkswagen, 1100cc. And all the challenges that went along with it. And you know what? With all those challenges was the opportunity to shine for him. Amen? I don't know how many guys shine in their Countach. Maybe just the Countach signs. Anyway, all right, let's keep going. Sometimes your timing is off. Here we have Jesus' interaction with Mary and Martha and in the death of Lazarus. So the sisters sent word to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Now, the request of Mary and Martha, the timing was off. And when our timing is off, Jesus says, slow down. And it is challenging because it feels like a no. Jesus was notified of the sickness of Lazarus and did nothing. He stayed where he was for 2 days. And you can get the feeling that, man, Jesus doesn't care about Lazarus or Mary or Martha, but he said, I got something else going on that you guys don't realize. I've got a plan, and that is where we can get very frustrated because we can see things very plainly, but we don't understand the plan of God. And God had a plan rolling with Lazarus, and after Lazarus is raised from the dead, everybody goes, oh, we get it now. Can I get a witness on that? See, it can be frustrating when you're not in on the plan. It can be incredibly frustrating when you're the plan. See, sometimes the Lord delays our prayers, the answer to our prayers, so that we develop character. Yeah, amen? See, it is spiritually maturing when we go through pain and hurt and discomfort. Amen? But we often pray for the removal of pain, hurt, and discomfort because God wants us to have happy, safe, comfortable lives. That's his job. Come to the Lord, happy, safe, and comfort. Right? I got that promise. You get that promise? See, here's the problem. Sometimes the Lord wants us to grow, right, through challenge. I got a text here. Actually, I don't. But there's all kinds of texts that talk about growing in challenges. And realistically, if we had happy, safe, comfortable lives, we really wouldn't need the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let me talk to you about timing. Again, at the skate park, there was a kid named Christian. Remember Christian? We were talking about Christian this week. And he was almost violent at times. He would come to the Jesus table, and he would begin to argue about God, what God was supposed to do, and he'd be incredibly intoxicated most times, and he would cuss, and he would curse, and he would talk about how we were just wrong about everything to do with God. And I prayed for Christian. I'm like, Lord, let reach. And I prayed for a lot of these kids. But then Christian moved away. And he moved to National City. And we'd see him very infrequently. Because I guess there's other places to skate between here and National City. But he came up last week. And how you doing, Pastor? He looks at me. He's got a scar right in here. And I said, good, Christian, how are you? He goes, I'm good. I'm going to church.
Wow.
Where are you going to church? He says, I'm going to Victory Outreach.
Amen.
I said, really?
Wow.
He said, well, you come to our church. He said, well, you know, I moved. I live down there in Nashville City, right near that Victory Outreach. And now we've had some of them kids come to Pastor Scott's class on a Wednesday night. We feed them, we give them cake. But that is the first kid that I'm aware of that we started working with who was just adamantly hardened against the Lord. That has softened. See, amen, amen. And, man, I'll tell you, it's complicated when God's got a plan. And it's slow. It's like, no, not slow. But sometimes slow is good. Amen? All right, let's keep going. God keeps his eyes on us. Sometimes we are the problem. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Can I get a witness on that? Nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. When we are the problem and we pray to God, God says, grow. God, I need a job. God, fix my car. God, my husband is beating me. Bible tells us that sin causes our prayers to bounce off heaven. It is these prayers that cause many to turn their backs on God. Now, there's a prayer that will make it through, even if you're steeped in sin, and that is the prayer of surrender. God, I'm so messed up. That slices right up into heaven, right into the throne room of God. You say, Lord, here's my life. Take it over. I am messed up. And he says, I'll take that deal. Amen? I have done that. I know that that prayer gets through. Now, maybe you get lucky and you're piggybacking on somebody else's prayer. Or maybe you're praying for something that God is already going to do. But I am telling you that if you are bound in sin, it is impossible to move the hand of God through prayer. That's what Isaiah tells us. Now, in addition to sin, there are relational issues that will mess up your prayer. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Bible says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, brother or sister means somebody in the church, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go first and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Relational issues. Unforgiveness, bitterness, rage, anger. It will mess up your prayer life. You want to be connected to the kingdom, it comes through prayer. You can't be connected to the kingdom and be all tore up in your relationships. Amen? Another one, ladies, here you go. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Guys that are not getting along with their wives, you're not getting along with God. Right there, 1 Peter. God wants you to be right with your wife, the wife of your youth. Celebrate her. And then you get to celebrate your connection with the kingdom. Amen? So, are you good with God? Or do you need to make a change? Kingdom resources available. All the kingdom available for you to shine. Amen. God wants you to shine. Amen? Here we go. Sometimes everything is right. Everybody said? Yay! All righty. Truly, I tell you, truly, truly, not just one truly, two truly, truly, truly. I tell you, whoever believes in me. Now, there's some belief clauses in here. There's some stuff. It is packed. I want you to pay attention. As we've gone through these three different types of prayers, I want you to catch the richness in the statement of Jesus. Amen? I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works. He'll shine, right? Will also do the works that I am doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So many people just grab that last line. But as I'm reading that, and as you read that, you see the fullness in that statement by Jesus. He says, you want to shine for me? I will pour out everything in heaven for you. Amen?
Amen.
You shining for him? God's ways, God's resources available for anybody who will work for him. My question for you, how much connection do you want with heaven? Because for some, the supernatural power of God, a little bit, is enough. Man, I got a thimbleful of the supernatural power of God. Woohoo! And I'll tell you what, man, that is dead on good. If you've been living your life dry, a thimbleful of the power of God for some is enough. I got enough. My question is, how much do you want to shine? How much you want to bring to the Lord? Because you can bring a thimble and he will fill that thimble. Can I get a witness on that? But perhaps you got a thimble and you're moving right on. And you're saying, oh Lord, I want to shine for you. I want to live for you. I want to grab on to the resources of the kingdom of God. Lord, fill me up. And you just bring a bucket. Amen. I know. Which one do you want? Right? And so the question is, how much do you want to shine? Because the Lord will fill a thimble. He'll fill a bucket, but he will fill a barrel as well. And so the question becomes, what are you bringing to God? Because James says, you don't have because you don't ask. See, the resources of the kingdom of God are there for you to shine, but you got to ask. Get up in the morning. Lord, I want to shine for you. Lord, I want to be your man. Lord, I want to be your woman. It says, fix things with your wife. Fix things with your coworker. You want to shine. I got you a busted transmission today. You're going to kick the car? You're going to be a jerk about it? Or are you going to shine? See, our challenges are so we can shine. Can I get a witness on that? So my question for you today, at least you can come up, is how's your connection? How's your prayers? How's your answers? See, it can be so complicated, but I can simplify it for you a little bit, your prayer life, because our prayers will generally fall in one of two categories. There is the God, would you shine for me category. Lord, I need you for me. Category. And the Lord says, that's not how I roll. Then there is the Lord, help me shine for you category. It's like, I'm seeing Wendy there with all of her wonderful children. Don't you just love it when one of your children says, Mom, can I clean the kitchen for you? Mom, where's the Ajax? I want to clean the bathroom. I'm sure Wendy's not, get your own Ajax. No, she's telling one of the other kids, go get some Ajax at the store. Let's roll. How much you want to shine? How much you want to connect with God? Who do you know who shines? I tell you, they're shining for the Lord. They're connected to the kingdom. Amen? So we've got four types of prayers. Know, slow, grow, and go. Now, you get one or more of those. You might have all those, right? Your prayer's wrong. You're praying for the wrong stuff. And you're going, Lord, would you shine for me? And this morning you realize, I got to make a change in my life. I got to make a change in my prayers. I got to make a change in my focus. Now, maybe it's just a thimble. But a thimble is more than nothing. Can I get a witness on that? A thimble will lead to a bucket, which will lead to a barrel, which will lead to the fullness of God. You want to make a change today. You want to say, Lord, I want to shine for you. Guess what? Right up here, change station. You can meet with God. You can talk with God. You can grab onto the kingdom and say, oh, God, I want to shine for you. Perhaps you're getting slows. And your timing's off. And you're asking for good, godly stuff. But you're not getting any yeses. And there's confusion. And you're going, Lord, help me understand your plan. Right up here. It's a comprehension zone. You come up here and say, Lord, I don't get it. I just don't get it. You'll say, well, smoking weed every other day, or How about that unforgiveness issue I've been talking with you about for 2 years? Or one of a million things. But he says, I got some stuff I'm working on. I'll let you in on it. A comprehension zone. A change zone? A comprehension zone. Amen? Sometimes you get no's, which is probably the smoking weed part. You've got relational issues. You've got issues going on. And he says to you today, look, man, you got so much pollution in your life. You got such resistance and such frustration with the kingdom and the word and the guidance of the Spirit. How do you expect to get yeses from me? You got to change. You get to mature. You get to grow. Well, there's a growth zone up here too. And perhaps your prayers are right, your timing's right, and you're right. And you're getting goes left and right. Can I get a witness? And you go, Lord, I am so tired. Well, this is the recharge zone. Amen? You're getting so many goes, and it's like, Lord, fill me up because I want to go for you. Amen? I don't know where you're at. But everybody's got something. And right up here, connect with the kingdom. You walk out of here shining. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. We're gonna sing. Worship team, come. And Danny, pop this song up here, would you? Now, you want to connect to the kingdom? I'm going to connect. Because I tell you what, the third time I preach this message, twice to me and God. Now to you. And I'll tell you what, every time, the Lord's talking to me. Amen? So I invite you, come. Let's connect with the kingdom.